everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. It is really gorgeous here in New York. I hope it is a lovely day wherever you are. No matter what the weather is outside, it can be a lovely day, and I'm really happy to be here to share it with you. So I have a great show for you planned today. My guest will be Pascale Nasens. She is a Belgian culinary author, model, artist, and chef, and she just came out with her sixth book, which is top of the charts in Belgium, where she's from, and she is bringing it here to the States, and I'm really thrilled to have her on as my guest, and I'll tell you more about her later in the show when she comes on. But first, I want to share with you some things going on in and around the city, some things in the news that are really of importance, and ways that you can get involved. And, of course, I want to share my weekly recipe with you. So first, on my website this week, I have some really important petitions that I want to ask all of you to sign on to. As you've heard me say so many times, and it's more important now than ever in the political climate in which we're living, is that we all speak up our truth. We need to stand together in solidarity for good health, good environment, good communities, love of each other as brothers and sisters. We just can't give in to the hate and the anger and the horribleness that is going on right now. So we really all need to do our part. And the current administration is trying to undo all the good things that have been done before them, such as offshore drilling. So I do have a petition on my website put up from the National Resource Defense Council to help support or keep the limits to offshore drilling. We do not want to open up the Arctic and the Atlantic Oceans and possibly even the Pacific and the Eastern Gulf Coast to oil and gas drilling again. We've seen what the catastrophic spills can do. We know that there is no such thing as a complete cleanup. We know that the wildlife is completely destroyed when that happens, and we don't want to let that happen. So please tell Interior Secretary Ryan Zink to keep our coastal coasts permanently off limits to oil and gas drilling. So please sign on to that petition. Also, the Clean Water Act. Hello, we all know we need clean water. How could Scott Pruitt think that clean water is negotiable? How can he want to undo the clean water rule? Just for the profits of companies and big business? Not okay. We need to stand up and we need to sign this petition. We need to let our voices be heard. Clean water is a given right that we all have, and we want to safeguard that. So please sign that petition for clean water. And also about climate change. They are denying that climate change exists. We believe that it does exist. Al Gore's new film, An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power, really talks about how much more damage we've done in the 10 years. And yet there's examples of countries doing it right. I mean, Chile is almost 90% renewable energy now. Germany is on that path. And we are going in the wrong direction. So we need to let our voices be heard about that, too. So please sign that petition. And then I want to share a website with you called The Bee Cause. And it's just a way to stay up to date and current with issues revolving around our pollinators. So those are two really good things. And then I wrote about the Impossible Burger. Last year, when I was at the Chef's Collaborative Conference in New York City, we actually all sampled this Impossible Burger that was really weird for me to eat because it seemed so much like a meat burger. I mean, it looked like a meat burger. When you bit into it, the juice was a meat burger. And I thought, well, this is, a great new alternative to, best or most realistic veggie burger I've ever had as far as close to substituting for meat. You know, my desire when I eat a veggie burger is just to have something delicious, not necessarily something that's going to mock a meat burger. But for someone who is a meat eater who really wants that meat burger, this was a great invention. Well, fast forward another year, and you know, New York Times just wrote this huge article about this Impossible Burger, because it is made using a GMO product that is created in a lab that makes it bleed. It's, you know, it is a product that is found in the root of the soybean, but it's never been eaten before, and they don't know if it's safe, and they're manufacturing it in a lab. And it sounds scary to me. I don't know all of the details. I only read this article that was in the New York Times, which you can find a link on my website, or just Google New York Times and the Impossible Meat. But the consequences of eating this GMO product is not known. And the FDA, you know, approves things. Basically, if you think it is believed to be safe, you're allowed to put it on the market. And it does not require testing. And so there's a lot of people speaking out against this, and we need to really do our research and find out. But just in general, it doesn't make sense to me that for products to go onto the market if the company producing them just believes them to be safe. I think they do need to be tested if they're not a real food. And the FDA should be on our side, not on the side of business. So that's something to look into. Lots of things going on in and around the news. Of course, we have the solar eclipse coming up on Monday, August 21st. If you're in the New York area, you can see 70% of the solar eclipse between the hours of 1:23 and 4 o'clock. It's going to be peaking in the New York area at 2:44 in the afternoon. If you want to look at it, you need to have these solar eclipse glasses, and Amazon has already sold out of them, so there is a place you still can get them. I just actually ordered some. But you want to get your hands on these solar eclipse glasses and make sure that they are certified, approved by the ophthalmologists organization. You know, they have to be really safe for you to look at the sun through them. But, you know, this is a time in history. It won't happen again in our lifetime, or in my lifetime, so it's something I would like to see. And if you can find a place with an open field, you should be able to see it. And the weather, as of right now, looks like it's going to be really good. Coming up this weekend, the American Herbalist Guild of Long Island chapter, they're having a medicinal walk with Ellen Kamai. That's at the Oyster Bay Library. And that should be a good thing. Ellen Kamai is amazing. If you haven't experienced one of her herbal medicinal walks, you're in for a treat. Slow Food East End is also having their community potluck on that day, August 17th. Our pasta making class that was supposed to be tomorrow has been canceled. I guess people are just too busy in the summer. We'll revisit it in the fall. August 26th, there's a seed saving workshop being sponsored by Turtle Tree Biodynamic Seed, which is the company I get most of my seeds from, up in Copaic, New York, if you can check that out. September 4th is the Shinnecock Labor Day Powwow coming up. That's an annual event. It's a wonderful thing to go to if you've never gone to it. Great tribal dances, music, lots of great food, and it's all weekend long from Friday through Monday, so check that out. Slow Food North Shore is sponsoring a family film and vegetarian sushi making workshop, and that's going to be on September 9th. And we've done this once before. We are screening the documentary film called What's on Your Plate, which is a documentary that was made by two young girls about in search of finding out where their food comes from. And it's really a great film for the whole family. And then following that, we're inviting everyone into the Sky Cafe at the Cinema Arts Center for a sushi rolling workshop. So come on down to the Cinema Arts Center for that. You can purchase tickets ahead of time by going onto the Cinema Arts Center website or calling them up. There is a fall potluck at Restoration Farm, which is our Nassau County local farm, organic farm, on September 10th, and that is at 4 p.m. So come down to that. Bring a dish to share.
Thanks.
And let's see. Also, on September 13th, Food Tank is having their New York City Summit, focusing on food loss and food waste. And I believe that's sold out. However, it will be live streamed, so you can go onto the onto the Food Tank website and find out about that. So that's what's going on. I want to share with you my recipe now before I invite my guest, Pascal Nasons, on to share her story with us. So the recipe that I have this week, let's see, where is my recipe? Hold on. It is here somewhere. I will have to come back to the recipe. I'm going to invite my guest on and then, here's the recipe. Okay, great. Baked pesto squash casserole. And this recipe is delicious. And actually, when my guest comes on and talks about her diet, you'll see that this recipe would work perfectly in the food philosophy that Pascal is recommending for all of us. So this is a baked pesto squash casserole. And you will need some olive oil. I used one patty pan squash. I was using what was coming out of my garden. So if you don't have a patty pan squash, you can use another squash. But I used a patty pan squash, and I used some summer squash. So one patty pan squash that I deseeded and sliced, two summer squashes sliced, a half a teaspoon salt, 2 tablespoons of pesto that I made that was it was a vegan pesto. It didn't have any cheese in it. It was just the basil, the pine nuts, the olive oil, and garlic, and salt. 1 onion, chopped. 2 cups of cherry tomatoes cut in half. 2 tablespoons of minced garlic. 3 tablespoons white wine. 2 cups grated Gruyere cheese. 4 cups finely chopped kale. 1 tablespoon minced garlic. That's another tablespoon in addition to the other two. 2 tablespoons of white wine. Another 3 tablespoons of pesto. 3 heirloom tomatoes sliced, and 1/2 pound of fresh mozzarella cheese. And so I greased the bottom of the casserole pan first, and I covered that with the slices of the patty pan squash. Then I sauteed the onion in some olive oil with 2 tablespoons of minced garlic. When the onions were translucent after a few minutes, I added the cherry tomatoes and cooked those for another few minutes. Then I added the salt and 3 tablespoons of white wine. I let that cook down a little till most of the wine had evaporated. I added 2 tablespoons of pesto to that, mixed it up, and then removed that from the pan and put it right into the casserole and spread it out so that I had a layer of the cherry tomatoes. Then I added 2 cups of the grated Gruyere cheese and spread that out into a layer. Then I put a layer of the summer squash slices over the cheese. And then I cooked up the kale in a wok with some olive oil and the remaining garlic and cooked that for about 5 minutes till it got soft. You can add a little water to that to help steam the kale as well. And I added some white wine to that. And then I cooked that until all the liquid was evaporated, but that the kale was really soft, but yet still bright green. You don't want to overcook the kale. And then I spread the kale in a thin layer on top of the casserole. And then I covered the kale with the slices of the heirloom tomatoes, and I had yellow ones and red ones. It was beautiful. And then I spread another 3 tablespoons of pesto over those tomatoes on top, and I put slices of fresh mozzarella on top of that. So it was kind of like a lasagna, but a vegetable lasagna, no pasta at all. And I baked that in the oven. I covered it with tin foil so that the cheese wouldn't burn at first and cooked it for about 40 minutes at 375. Then I removed the foil and baked it for another 10 minutes so that it could get a little golden brown on the edges of the cheese. And that was it, and I served it up, and it was really good. So I highly recommend that to all of you. It was just delicious. And now it's my pleasure to introduce my guest, Pascale Nesens. She is a Belgian chef, artist, author, and model in Belgium. She's written 6 books that have all made it to the top of the Belgium charts. And her new book, Pure Pascale, Pure and Simple, is her 6th book, and it is, really just talking about her philosophy on food and sharing more delicious recipes. And I'm just so excited to have her on. So, Pascale, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad it worked out. I know they were having a little challenge trying to get you on, so I'm glad that worked. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you had a successful career as a supermodel. Can you tell me how and when you kind of switched over to becoming a chef and author of these amazing books?
Well, I had a few careers. I started as a model. And I traveled around the world, and I thought it was an exciting job, but I had some problems as well with my eating habits, and I think that's where my journey started. I was looking for answers, what is food doing to your brain, to your body, and then I started to work for television in Belgium. But I still, in the shadow, I was working on recipes, on food, and doing research and interviewing scientists. And it was like, in the first place, I cured myself by just eating natural. And I was looking, as I said, for the answers for my questions, for my problem. And then I had a lot of recipes because I love to cook. And I saw in my surrounding that a lot of people, also in Belgium, had the same problems as I did before. So I wanted to share my recipes, and I wanted to tell them how easy it was to have natural food and to have a good relationship with food and not to gain weight, even if you can eat quite a lot. And so I started with my first book, which is now, I think, 8 years ago. In Belgium, I have 8 books out.
Eight books. Sorry, I thought it was 6.
Uh-huh. No problem. But I thought it was only for a few people because it was about healthy food. Also, I talk about romantic food because I thought in that time all the books that came out and when they talked about healthy food, they were really boring. So I thought, it's not boring, healthy food. It's not at all. It's and having or talking about food is also talking about people, about romance, about enjoying. So I brought everything together in the first book, and from the first start, it was quite a success. And especially in Belgium, it's a huge success. I really changed the eating habits of a lot of Belgians. And I think that's what I want to prove. I want to tell people that you can have really nice and easy recipes. I heard your recipe, and I think it's very nice, but it's quite complicated. And I think the reason why my recipes also have success is because they're so easy to make. I only use few ingredients, which is easy and simple ingredients that you can find everywhere. And but when you see my recipes, a lot of people have like, whoa, you have been working on it for a few hours, which is nuts. And so it's about easy recipes. It's about enjoying. It's about having a good meal. You can eat and you can eat a lot, but you have to eat the right things.
Uh-huh. So can you share a little bit of what your philosophy entails? I know it's a lot about the food combining and what what you eat with what, more than not having something. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think the first thing, the most important thing is if you want to eat more healthy, that you have to eat natural foods. And natural foods, that is food that comes directly out of nature into your kitchen. And then you can do whatever you want with it. You will never be able to process the food in your kitchen. And what I do not eat is food that first came out of nature, went to the factory to be processed, and then into your kitchen. That's really the wrong food. And our body is not responding well to that food. And that makes a huge difference. So you have to eat vegetables, fruits, nuts, fish, meat, butter, olive oil, seeds, all those things, all those natural things, these are good for you. If you eat that, you have already made a very big step in the right direction. And then I have a method. It's about food combining. And if you follow that, you will have the right balance. Because food is about balance. And if you stick to that one rule, you will have the right balance in your food. And that one rule is don't mix together or don't eat them together. The concentrated carbohydrates, these are breads, pasta, rice, potatoes, French fries. These are all concentrated carbohydrates. So they give us a lot of sugars, in fact. At the end product is sugar. Mm-hmm. Don't combine them together or don't eat them together with proteins, which is fish, meat, eggs, cheese.
Yeah.
And in fact, it may sound a little bit abstract, but in practice, that means that I will replace bread and potatoes with vegetables and fat. And fat, with which I mean olive oil, I just use more olive oil, more butter, more coconut oil. So you will see that at the end, you are more satisfied. You eat less fast-acting carbohydrates, and these are the major culprits. And you will eat more vegetables and more fruits. So it's the method, it gives you the right balance. And so if you combine everything, if you buy or if you look into a book of mine or you go to my website, you will see, in fact, easy recipes and you will not even notice that it's food combining. But if you do it, if you start with food combining and you stick to the natural foods, I think within 3 days you will feel the difference. That's what people also are telling me.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that I'm so strict, because I think we are quite, the human being are quite strong. We can handle a lot. But what we cannot handle is constant high sugar values in our blood. That we cannot handle. Constant stress. That we cannot handle, then we will have a burnout and constant high sugar levels, then we will become diabetic, we will become fat, and we will become sick. But we can have once in a while a dessert, we can have once in a while French fries, that's not a problem. I don't skip nothing, because I just love to eat, and I love what we have in this world, so I want to eat everything, but it's about the right balance. And the method gives you the right balance.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to, you know, is craving a sandwich or pasta, how would you suggest that they incorporate that into their diet?
Well, when they are craving for pasta or sandwiches, it's because they are eating wrong. I think what is very important as well for people to understand is that what you eat is directing you, is influencing your behavior. It's what you eat. If you are used to eat sandwiches, if you are used to eat a lot of potatoes, you will crave for them. If you're not, then you, like, I don't crave anymore for them. And I can tell you, I have been eating a lot of them. I was really addicted. So I remember that I thought, I will never survive that. I will never get rid of that addiction. But it's true. Once you eat in a different way, once you start with those natural foods, you will be surprised about yourself. And you will think that, normally I'm always craving for a sandwich or for pasta. And now it's not. I feel satisfied. So when you start eating my way, in the beginning you will still crave for it. Only the first days. But after a while, it's an addiction. And after a while, you will see that your body is changing, your body is satisfied, and the food that I suggest is more satiating. So you will not crave for those sugary things. And even a lot of parents use them for the kids, my books. And I have a lot of feedback also from doctors who use my books, even doctors for their own children. And they say, it's amazing. My child is changed. He's now more calm. He's not asking anymore. All the time he was asking for sugary things, for cookies, and now he doesn't crave them anymore. So it's what you eat is very predictable for what you will be craving for. So if you change that, in the beginning it will be a little bit, the first 3 days it will be a little bit hard, but after that you will feel a difference. So I would suggest to them, eat natural foods that are satisfying you but properly, because a sandwich is not satisfying. A sandwich is only satisfying you for half an hour maximum, absolutely maximum an hour. I don't think it's even an hour. I don't have enough with a sandwich. But if you eat more natural foods, and as I said, you can eat quite lots. It's not about amounts. You don't have to weigh everything. It's not about calories. The calories are, it's outdated, the calories. It's about real food. And if you eat real food, you're satisfied. And you will not crave for those sandwiches anymore.
But one could have, with your food combining, a sandwich of avocado, tomato, and lettuce, no?
Yes, absolutely. But as I said, I'm not against anything, not against bread, not against... But you will see that once you start eating that way, that you will see that your body responds better to those natural foods. And you will, a lot of people say, I don't want to eat that bread anymore. I think if you eat a sandwich, it's okay once in a while. But I don't think if you ask me, a sandwich is healthy, or can I eat a sandwich in a healthy way? Yeah, I think, okay, this, if you eat the sandwich with avocado, it will be better. But it's not like if you would eat vegetables with fish, it's even more better.
Right.
So you
right,
always have to ask yourself, what's more better and what's more delicious? So I think there are better things than having a sandwich with avocado. But you can have them if you want. But once you start eating that way, you will explore new things. And you will see that, but if I eat that, I can have much more. It's much more delicious, and I'm much more satisfied. So I think the wrong thing, but it's good to go step by step, but I think the wrong thing is to stick with your eating habits and to think I'm going to make them healthier. I think you have to be curious in life, and you have to explore things. And I think just exploring my recipes is maybe a good idea, because they are so easy to make. And you can just make them and see what it's doing to your body. And then you will be surprised and say, wow, that's nice. And once then in a while, a sandwich, you will say, okay, now I will eat them with avocado, which is better. And you will go step by step. And that's how it works, because a lot of people, I don't take the hands of a lot of people. I give them a lot of information. And I think that, and I don't want to convince people as well. I think they have to, I think people, if they want to change their habits, they are open for it. And these are the people that they manage to change their things. But if you are thinking in a way of, I have to eat healthy, and I think of healthy food that you are taking away something from me, then you will not succeed. So you have to see healthy food as a... Sorry. You have to see healthy food as an opportunity to eat in a different way, which is better.
And what are your thoughts on fruit? They're very high in sugar too.
Well, I think that's a funny one, because a lot of people are asking me that as well. Yeah, fruits are high in sugar, and then I ask them, yeah, but what are you eating like in the morning? Oh, I'm having bread, even brown bread. And I say, and what do you think that, then about that brown bread? If you count the sugars in brown bread, it's more than in fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's with what you compare it with. Fruits contain sugars, but not a lot. Most of them are not high in sugars, except for bananas and a few fruits, but most of them are not. And if you eat like a normal bread in the morning, that normal bread in the morning contains much more sugar than the fruit. And a big difference is, especially if you eat white bread or just normal bread, that bread will release its sugars very quickly because its bread is made out of flour, and the flour is processed. So the carbohydrates, the sugars, are free. Once you digest the carbohydrates out of bread, and once they almost come into your stomach, they are released into your blood cells. So it's a very fast-acting carbohydrates. Instead of fruits, when you eat them as a whole, that's why you will not find any juices in my books. If you eat them as a whole, the sugars are only in between 5% and 20% in fruits, and the sugars are still squeezed in the cells. So if you eat the fruit, your body has to work hard to get to those sugars. So the sugars in whole fruits are released very slowly. So it makes a very big difference if you eat fruit in the morning because it contains less sugars and it has not fast-acting carbohydrates. So it releases the sugar very slowly. So I think it's a mistake for a lot of people to say, yeah, but in fruits, there's a lot of sugar. Mm-hmm. As I said, if you eat bread in the morning, you have much more fast-acting sugars. And I think that's a mistake a lot of people make. They don't think about bread, about potatoes, about cookies. Cookies maybe, but potatoes and bread and pasta, these are the hidden sugars. These are fast-acting sugars. And a lot of people don't notice. If you eat bread, if you eat pasta, if you eat potatoes, you must think of them that you eat a dessert. They act in the same way.
Right. Your diet or your philosophy sounds a lot like Fit for Life. Do you know? Are you familiar with Fit for Life?
I know it's somewhere, and it's about combination. But there are a few things that are the same. But not really. And I only have one rule. You have combination rules, and they go much further. And I think they are good for people who are having problems with their health. But I don't think it's necessary to have that lot of combinations when you're a healthy person. I only have one rule, which is a little bit the same as in a combining diet. But it's only one rule that I have. And I use a lot of fats as well, but it's true that from the combination diet, I only took one rule out of it, and I think all the rest is, for me and for a normal life, too complicated. But if you have problems with your stomach, with your intestine, I think it's a good diet to go further in, but I don't think it's necessary for a healthy person.
Right. I know they talk about eating only fruit in the morning. Like when you eat fruit, you shouldn't eat it with anything else. How do you feel about that?
I combine it, for instance, I combine fruit with full fat yogurt and seeds. And I think it's a perfect combination. And the yogurt, for example, you can combine it with everything because yogurt contains almost as many proteins and as many carbohydrates. So yogurt is a little bit tricky for combination diets because it contains as well proteins as carbohydrates. And in the morning, I have full-fat yogurt, which is really very healthy, full-fat yogurt. Now we have new science that says full-fat and natural yogurt is much better for you than skimmed yogurt. And together, the yogurt, together with the fruits, are really, it's so nice to eat. It's so beautiful, the colors, the taste, and it's really satiating you. So it's very important, the fat in the yogurt.
Mm-hmm. Pascal, let's take a couple-minute break, and when we come back, I'd like to talk about some of the recipes that you have in your book and some more of the food combining you recommend.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone listening, yes, don't go anywhere. I'm talking with Pascal Nesens from Belgium about her book, Pure and Simple. Be right back.
Cavalcante, host of The Vinyl Experience, and you're listening to PRN, your source for the best in progressive conversation, news, and entertainment.
Truth to Power is a weekly program every Friday at 4 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network. I'm Charles Ortlieb, and I was the publisher of New York Native, the first newspaper to cover the AIDS and chronic fatigue syndrome epidemics. Each week, I'll open up Pandora's box of controversial questions about what AIDS really is and what causes it. I've been covering this wild and crazy story for 36 years. I've known all the players involved with this unresolved issue. Join me each Friday at 4 as we turn the AIDS and chronic fatigue syndrome epidemics upside down.
Someone has to cross the River Jordan. Someone has to find a way to save the day. Let this be the hour to speak truth to power.
This is PRN, the comprehensive news source for the world's progressive community. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And my guest today, Pascal Nesens from Belgium. She is an author of a new book called Pure and Simple. And we're talking about food combining. And Pascal, are you with me?
Yes.
Great. So can you share with us some of your favorite recipes from the book? I know that you use... You do use concentrated proteins like, you know, meat, fish, cheese. So I'd love you to talk about some of those as well, and also whether or not in Belgium you have the same problem we have here where you need to try to get fish that's wild and meat that is, you know, free of hormones and antibiotics. I don't know if that's an issue where you live,
mm-hmm.
but it certainly
yeah.
is here.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I do, my recipes are very simple and very easy to make, and I combine the vegetables with fish or with meat or with cheese, and I start from vegetables, but a lot of vegetables, different vegetables, and I think that a lot of people are thinking, oh, vegetables, I don't like vegetables, but if you prepare them in the right way, then they have a lot of flavor. A lot of people are not using fat in their kitchen, like olive oil or butter, I use especially olive oil. And I think if you would cook like meat, if you only would cook it, the meat wouldn't have any taste. Meat have taste because you bake it in oil. That's the same with vegetables. You have to, if they're really hard, cook them a little bit in water, and then you have to bake them in like, for instance, I love olive oil, which is a good oil, a basic oil that I use in my kitchen. But I do once in a while also have butter and coconut oil. And that I combine the vegetables then with fish, and I use a lot of oven skills. And that's so easy to cook with, because then I put everything in an oven skillet, even the vegetables. I pour some olive oil on it, and I just put them in the oven for 20 minutes. And after 20 minutes, you have a very nice meal, and you have no dishes to wash. You didn't have a lot of work. Like tomorrow, I have invited some friends, and we are together with 14 people. And tomorrow I did all my shopping, and tomorrow I will prepare everything in advance. So I don't have to cook. The moment they are here, I can sit at the table with them, with my friends. I only have to put everything in the oven, and that's it. And that's how I love to work. It's a very easy kitchen. But we do have the same problems like with fish. Normally, fish is a healthy ingredient. It's a natural ingredient, and especially fish is very healthy for you. If fish today is not healthy anymore, it's because of human being. It's because of the contamination. It's because of the antibiotics, and it's because of humans, because they treat the nature bats. So that's the reason why, I use a lot of biological, organic fish, especially organic meat, because of the antibiotics. And yes, unfortunately, we have the same problems here in Belgium.
You did.
Now, just we had a problem with the eggs. There was a scandal about eggs. There was some kind of antibiotics that was in it. And we do have, I think, a major problem of our food system is the food industry. But we cannot compare everything. They are not all bad. Like, it's also the food industry that brings us cumin. And that's nice. It's a nice product. It's also the food industry that brings us olive oil. And that these are nice products. But the food industry when they are really big, they tend to make mistakes and think only about the money. And I think that's a huge problem that we have. And I think that's a major problem in the world. And I think it's because we are with too many on this world. So we all see it very big. If you have like those chicken farms, they are so big, those chicken farms. And the chickens live together, so they have to use antibiotics. If not, if there is a disease, all the chickens are sick. Because the chickens are very close to each other, so it is a problem. It's the best way would be that everyone has his own chickens, his own...
That'd be great.
That would be very great. But I must admit, I don't have them myself. I don't have them. But that would be great. And I think you see that now a lot of people don't trust the food industry anymore, and for a good reason. So that's true. That's a problem. And that's, I think, why people start more and more buying organic. But sometimes even organic, it's not reliable. So it's not easy. That's true. But I do think that the consumer, that we, just like the normal people who are buying the products, that we have power, that we can influence a lot. If we will buy more organic, then you will see that prices will come lower. Then you will see that they will give us more organic, because it's a food industry. They only think about money, and if people are asking more for that product, they will make that product. So I think the reason also is because a lot of people are not don't want to pay for quality. And if you don't pay for quality, if you always buy the cheapest food, the cheapest things, then we will have big problems. Because then we force them to work in the wrong way. But I think quality has its price. But what we do have to know is that it's real quality, that they can give us quality. So we have to ask, even in the shop, where does this meat come from? Where does the fish come from? Where does the eggs come from? And I think in Belgium that's nice to see. We see that you see a lot of smaller farmers, and people are buying directly from the farmers and not from the big food industry anymore. So that's a nice evolution. So I think we cannot underestimate the power of the people, and we have to demand natural foods and good quality foods.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you completely, and it is the same in this country. You really have to.
Like in Belgium, I really changed a lot. Like now, in the supermarkets, you can find now a lot of things that before you couldn't find, and because of the books, because people come there and they say, "Yeah, but I want that." Oh no, we don't have them. But if 20 people are coming there, then they think, maybe we should buy that. So we changed already. So you cannot underestimate the power of the people. And people do tend that because they always say, yeah, but it's a problem of the industry. It's the problem. It's always the problem of somebody else. But you can do a lot yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know, I carry that philosophy also into restaurants. I tell my listening audience all the time that when you go out to eat, which so many people in this country do, they eat a huge number of their meals out in restaurants. Mm-hmm. Ask the restaurant, you know, do you have any organic meat? You know, the more mm-hmm. people that start requesting meat that is free of antibiotics and hormones, restaurants are going to start meeting that request. But if people
Absolutely.
Don't ask for it, they're going to keep giving you the cheap crap.
Yes. That's what I did in my other book as well. In I think it was my fourth book. I asked people not to obey restaurants, and if they went to restaurants, that they had to ask more vegetables, because normally restaurants, they tend to give you a lot of French fries, a lot of potatoes, and a lot of sauce, and a lot of meat or fish, but no vegetables.
Right.
And I said in my book, don't obey the restaurants, and if they ask you what you want, just tell them, and instead of potatoes, I want more vegetables. And in Belgium, it was a huge issue. I even went on television to defend that, because the restaurant holders, they said, what are you saying there, and what are you doing? And I kept on defending that, and you see that a lot of restaurants change their the menu, and now you can, in some restaurants, you can have the choice. You can see, or you go for the French fries or an extra portion of vegetables. So I do think we can change a lot. It's not going fast, but not. I think in those few years, a lot have changed, and I think now time is there. A lot of people are demanding for natural things, natural food. So I think a lot of people are into it. So now we can change a lot, I think, and I believe in that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you share with us what other elements are important to you in creating a lifestyle that harnesses both natural food preparation and conscious eating?
And what exactly do you want me to tell?
What other lifestyle changes do you recommend for people to improve their
yes.
health?
Well, I think one of the most important and one of the nicest one is cook at home. A lot of people are eating out and go to a restaurant, but they forget how nice it is to cook at home. I just love to cook at home. Like, as I said, tomorrow I will have 14 people here, and I'm doing everything by myself. And because I know it's not so much work, but the ambience is totally different. When you are at home and you invite people at home and you have a nice table and talking about creativity, I just love to be creative. I make my own dishes. I'm a ceramist as well. And I think the way you eat is as important as what you eat. So the dishes, the table where the table, the decoration, it's so important. And it's so self-fulfilling, even just cooking for my husband, having those nice meals at home by the evening, talking to each other. It's for me so valuable. And I think a lot of people are missing that because they think, well, it's easier to go to a restaurant. But I think they miss a lot of romance that you cannot have in a restaurant. In a restaurant, there's always people around. And if you cook at home, it's so the atmosphere is so totally different, and I just couldn't miss it. So I think if you want to give yourself a favor, and especially your husband or your wife or your the family, just cook more at home. It's so nice, and with my books, everybody can cook at home. It's so easy, mm-hmm. so that's not a problem. And I always tell people as well, I like to cook, but I don't want to spend hours in the kitchen, because in that way, that's for a restaurant. Those people, the real chefs, they are in their restaurant all the time, and that's how it should be. But if you cook at home, I want to be with my friends, so I want to cook in advance, I want to prepare everything in advance, but when my guests are there, I want to be with them. So I want to have easy, nice recipes, but I do want them to, when I serve the recipes, that they say, wow, that's delicious, that's nice, how do you did it? That's what I want, that's what I like. And yeah, I'm looking forward for tomorrow. I even have a cardiologist here, a doctor who will be eating at my table. They became friends, in effect. So it will be, a nice evening.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like with your diet you can eat too much protein? I know there's, a lot of people, that I have so many people on my show with so many different diet philosophies, and a lot of the heart-healthy diets suggest you become vegan and don't even eat meat. What is your mm-hmm. philosophy on that?
Well, I think, first of all, if you want to have a healthy diet or just healthy eating, there are several options. There is not one way to eat healthy. You have like a healthy Mediterranean diet. You have a healthy vegan diet. You have a healthy, even high in carbohydrates diet. So you have different options. And I think that's why there is a lot of discussions, because a lot of them will claim that's the healthiest diet, and I think that's wrong. You don't have to claim this is the healthiest diet. I think everybody has to look for himself what is the healthiest diet for him. Like for me, for instance, a lot of carbohydrates, and especially the fast-acting ones, they are not good for me. And I see that a lot of people are, and especially women, are struggling with that. So that's why this way of eating is very good for me, and I will never become a vegan, because for me, a vegan, I can crave for meat, and I don't eat a lot of meat, but I feel that my body needs that meat, and I think to eat fish is very important, and very important for myself as well. And if you look at our evolution, we became human because we were able to eat fish and we were able to eat meat, and we had fire to cook our meals. So that was very important for our brain to let it grow. But I think you have a lot of options, and I think people themselves have to see what they are looking for.
Right.
Having too much protein, I think it's not good. Having too much carbohydrates, neither. Having too much, I think the only thing you can eat a lot is vegetables. I think they don't do
right.
any harm. But I think people must start not looking out of themselves. They must look into themselves. And in every way, a lot of people now are out there or they are talking about, but he does that and she does that, and that makes me sad, because then I start talking to people and say, look at yourself. You have a lot of power into yourself, but first of all, you have to look into yourself. We all are looking too much out of ourselves
outside.
And too far away, and we have to look into ourselves. What do I need? What is making me happy? What do I want in life? I think a lot of big issues are starting with that. Like now my ceramics are sold all over the world, but it started very small. It was a very small story. I started to have my turning
Noah,
wheel
we're gonna have
in
to
the
save,
kitchen.
We're going to have to save the ceramicist for another show, because we're just about out of time.
I can talk a lot of that as well.
I also went to school for ceramics, so I it's a whole other. A whole other story for me too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I love one. I want to end on that note that everybody has to look inside and find what's right for them, because it's there are so many diets, and you really have to find what's right for you. But I think we all agree that the more vegetables you eat, the better, and that you have to eat natural foods. You can't eat processed foods. And I think that covers all of the diets. Whatever choices you're making, as long as you're following those parameters, I think we're all on the right road. So, Pascal, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to talk with you, and I know my listeners got a lot out of it. So thanks so much.
Thank you
and
very
everybody
much
listening.
For having me on the show.
Oh, you're so welcome. Everybody listening, thanks so much. I'll see you all again next week. Have a great rest of the week, and bye for now. And check out that solar eclipse. Bye. I'm a